Welcome you, if you're visiting tonight. We're glad that you're here. What a joy it is to be able to worship the Lord and to preach and teach God's precious truth. Appreciate Tommy and Jeff and their encouragement to me and to the, overseeing the flock of God here. Continue to pray for them. And Brad, we always enjoy your leading the singing. Did good. And I tell you, Hollis, thinking about you tomorrow, going out for that scan that you're going to have tomorrow, will be praying for you too and all the others. We're glad you're here tonight, and we hope and trust that as we study the Word of the Lord, that it will build us up and all of us be encouraged. When I'm preaching on a subject tonight that I don't remember ever before taking a lesson just on Gehazi. Boy, we had a sermon this morning. I sat over there and I was just thinking, thank God for the man that we had in the pulpit. I tell you, Mike, you do an excellent job, and this church appreciates you. I do personally. It's a joy to be with you and your family in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, you remember the last time I preached on Naaman. And I told you, if the good Lord wills, the next time I preach, I would be preaching on the latter part of that chapter. You remember Naaman was a leper. Naaman had been healed of his leprosy. That must have surely been a joy for him. Surely, and others should be rejoicing also. When he had come back, well, there was an offer that was made by Naaman to Elisha. And here's Elisha. And God says that Elisha, as he is being offered this offering from Naaman, he said, I can't take it, no. Well, Naaman offered it to him again. And he said, I can't do it. That right there sticks in your mind. Right there you begin to think something. Somebody else is in that audience. Somebody else knows something about some things that are going on. That man's name is Gehazi. After Naaman had asked from Elisha for two burdens of dirt, one to be carried back by two donkeys, and it was granted to him. And then he asked, he wanted to know from Elisha that when he went in with his master and he knelt down in Rimmon, that God would excuse him. Remember that the Bible tells us that Elisha simply said, go in peace. Now we find this man whose name is Gehazi. And the Bible tells us that Gehazi has this to say. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chair to meet him. And there was the question that he asked, is all well? And he said, all is well, but I've come after you for a reason. My master has sent me. Lie number one. No! He had gone on his own accord. His master had not changed his mind. Elisha said no to the offer that was made to him. And now then, here is a man who is actually telling a lie. And the Bible says, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. I don't know where Gehazi dreamed that up. Silliest thing I've ever heard of. But here is what he said. He went on to tell him, and he said, that these young men are the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. He knew what Naaman had brought. He knew that Elisha said no, and yet he wanted that. Now he lies about why he's overtaken Naaman. And he says, give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content. Take two talents. And he urged them and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And the Bible then tells us, and when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in, and he stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? You know, here he is now before his master. He has seen so much happen with the work of Elisha the prophet. Now then listen to what he says. And the Bible says, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Another lie. He had gone someplace. And he said unto him, Gehazi, did not my heart go out with thee? When the man turned again from his chair to meet thee, I wonder how that man Gehazi felt, knowing now that his master knows everything, everything that he's done. And now then Elisha said, when the man turned again from his chair to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants? You know what? It's not. That's why we find that Elisha did not become the recipient of all the goods that Naaman had brought with him. Friends, can you see something in this story? Can you see that the direction of a man who had been the servant of a great man like Elisha, how this man now has turned, something's hard, his heart's not right, and he's turned, and oh, how sad it is that the Bible tells us whenever Elisha said, is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy, oh boy. Why, you know what? There must have been so many times that Gehazi had looked upon Elisha and thought of how wonderful it was that he could be a servant of his. Now he has been able to behold the miracle that has been performed, that Jesus said in Luke 4 and verse 27, out of all the lepers that were in Israel, only one was healed, and that was Naaman the Syrian. Now look what the Bible tells us. Now then Gehazi is told, and the Bible says, he's told, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Now we can get some idea about the leprosy that Naaman had. It caused his skin to be as white as snow. And now then, because of this man's action, surely, my friends, here is a man now, his skin is turned to the same thing. We know that he knew so much, Gehazi did, about Naaman. And you know what he ought to have realized? He ought to realize that Elisha, when he's there as his master, and when the water was bitter and it was barren in 2 Kings 2 and verse 21, that Elisha said, give me a cruse and pour salt therein. He poured it in the water and it was healed. He should have remembered something. He should have remembered something about Elisha when those 42 lads were crying out to him, oh, bald head. And the Bible says two she bears comes in and tears them to asunder. He should have remembered that in the valley of the ditches, where there was no water coming down from heaven, that Elisha told them, dig ditches. And guess what? When they did so, those ditches were filled so they could drink their water, the water, and the cattle could be able to drink. He should have remembered how that there was a widow that's pot of oil that she had so little. Now then, if she had two sons, and these two sons are going to have to be taken, and she cries out, and Elisha therefore multiplies through a miracle that pot of oil that continually was able to give this woman enough oil to sell, pay off their debts, save her boys, and be able even to live herself. We could talk. I was reading an article by Arthur Pink back in 1945, and he makes the statement. He says, you know, there are about 20-something different occasions found in the Bible about this man Elisha. Elisha, who was such a great prophet of God. People in the Bible's always had a problem, though, of coveting and greed. Let's just think just for a moment. Number one, Adam and Eve. And Eve. Eve was one who desired the forbidden fruit. And what did it do? It brought about sin and death into the world. Genesis 3 and verse 3. When you consider Joshua and the children of Israel and God being with them, the Bible tells us in Joshua 7 verse 1, when they went down to Ai, they were overcome. Why? Because there was a man among the Israelites whose name was Achan, who had coveted the gold and the silver and expensive garments, and as a result of such, God had Israel be defeated. But Achan lost his life, his family lost their lives, all because of covetousness. We remember there was a man who was a king. This man's king's name was Ahab. Next there was the Naboth's vineyard that was right there next to the... And what did the king want? Oh, the king wanted that vineyard. And when Jezebel found out about it, she had Naboth framed, and as a result of such, killed. And he was able to grab for himself then that parcel of land that he coveted. What about David? God has blessed us with in this life to be able to have one woman, to live with one woman till death do we part. Only one exception. That is for fornication. Can a man marry somebody else and not be guilty? Friend, let me tell you something. Here is David. David was a man after God's own heart. But he looked and he saw. What did he see? He saw a woman. And this woman was what? Well, this woman was bathing herself. And he coveted, he desired. He wanted that man's wife. He knew who she was. That was Uriah, one of his soldiers. That was Uriah the Hittite's wife. David brought upon himself in this sin the sword of God, which for generations made havoc of his family. Judas had been chosen by Jesus. Judas had been a man that had been with Jesus. Judas had been a man, and the Bible says he was a treasurer. What did he want? What did he do? You know what he did? He betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26, verse 15. And as we go further in the Bible, we find there's Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, they have some property. What do they do with it? They go out and they sell that property. And they come before Peter, and guess what? They both had set up a thing that where they would pretend or say to Peter that the land just brought so much. They both agreed. Guess what happened to them? Both of them died. Why? Because they were covetous. Let's consider three things in the lesson to be yours tonight concerning Gehazi. Number one, in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that after Elisha had rejected or refused to take any gift from Naaman, Gehazi wanted that gift. He desired and coveted. He said, I will run after Naaman and take somewhat of it. It was the desire of Gehazi that brought about his downfall. You got to be careful about your heart. When we go to the Bible tells us, each one of us, there is a statement made by Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 7. What does it say? Just this, remember this, as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Why? Because God has said it. It's true. And surely the gift that he received, Gehazi, as it brought about what his fulfillment of his desire. We've got to be so careful ourselves. We've got to look at the heart. No wonder the Bible tells us in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning. How do we learn? We learn by reading. Reading what? Reading the Word of the Lord. What will it do? It will bring us knowledge. It will encourage us that we may walk and serve the Lord. May we never let the devil get a hold of us and turn our attention away from the center of our attention. In the Bible, in Hebrews 11, or rather chapter 12 and verse 1 beginning, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that and the sin that easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Doing what? Looking where? Looking unto Jesus. Why? Because our desire of our hearts are to be with Him. We really want to be part of His people. As I was sitting there this morning listening to Mike preaching about the horrors of hell, it would be terrible, awful to think any one of us would be in a place like that. But God gave His Son so that will not happen if we turn and keep our attention on Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 verses 8 and 9, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Did you hear it? We shall be what? We shall be saved from what? From that horror of hell. By what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if we're God's children and we're serving Him faithfully, we can look forward to that wonderful promise of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Bible tells us in the second place, not only did Gehazi desire it, but he made a decision. He came and to make a decision that would fit his desire. That decision was, he thought, boy, Naaman had a problem with that, didn't he? But here is Gehazi. He secretly thought, following after Naaman, his intentions about taking what Naaman brought and be able to give, and he's made that story up about those two men. No, that was all his. He wasn't told to go there and do that. A decision. The Bible says you and I have got to make a decision. Guess what? Every day. Not a day will go by that you'll not have to make a decision. There'll be different kinds of things that will happen in life where you've got to make a decision. I know sometimes our decisions maybe is wrong. But you've got to make the decision. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, the Bible tells us how that if any man is in Christ Jesus, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Every day you and I have to constantly look and make sure that our decisions are in keeping with the will of the Lord. Over in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him every day. I've got to do that. You've got to do that. Why? Because we've got our attention focused on Jesus. Yes, we want to walk with the Lord. And we want to make every decision in light of His Word. Mike read this morning from Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Ye depart from me. Why? Because you're workers of iniquity. Decision. Number three, deception. There's one thing you can't do. You can't ever engage in anything without God knowing it. His outright lie that he made. No, he was not told by Elisha to go. He said, my master has sent me, saying, even now there be some to come to me from Mount Ephraim. Two young men of the sons of the prophets, give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment. Once you let the devil get in, guess what happens? Yes, you can be persuaded to do a lot of evil. Deception. But you cannot deceive God. I want to suggest to you tonight, when we look over and we see this man Gehazi, when we consider this man who had been so close to someone that was such a great prophet of God, who had seen miracle after miracle after miracle, and now making such a decision. Oh, we don't want to be like that. We want to learn from it. Yes, whenever we look to the Word of God, we want to make sure that we are faithful to Him. The leprosy that Naaman had suffered with for years. The leprosy that caused Naaman to be white, white as snow. Can you imagine your hands, your body being covered, being white, chalky looking? And now then, guess what? This man who had seen Naaman, this man who had been told by Elisha to go out and tell him to go down into the river Jordan and dip seven times and you'll be clean. This man who saw a man come back who had been covered with leprosy, skin white, now normal, in the very presence. And now this man is told, that's how you're going to be. That's how you're going to be. The leprosy that Naaman had is now with you. Tonight, in conclusion, as I thought about this sermon, and I thought, you know, we have all got to do everything we